You're listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. This podcast is designed to give you reflective time to engage yourself around sensitive life topics for the purpose of offering manageable perspectives for your daily journey.
Hey, hey, hey! It's The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I am Vessel, and this is our Tuesday segment where we really just kind of hold it off for fun and family. This is that one show where you should be able to sit around with your family and relax and listen at what we're trying to help all of us to be more conscious and aware about. So listen, I've been telling you guys we're going to do a part two of Preparing What You Pray For, and it is officially here. Our special guest is here from the TPN. We are so excited to have my dear sister. And get ready, because I know the back end of this story, but I'm sure I'm about to get some more stuff that I don't know. Because it's always great to, you know, think you know, but you don't know. You get some surprises here and there. So let's, without further ado, turn it over. Give my sister, Tamika, come on.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be on the V-Spot. Hi, V-Spot's family. Yes.
Avid listener you are. Because when she heard it, she's like, I got to be on the next one. And I know why, right? I do. I actually know why. Because you have, listen, we are, so my sister and I, we have a very strong relationship from our college years, and several of our friends, we've all had some of the transparencies in our relationships. I mean, some people might think it's kind of awkward, but some of the things that we share between our friends and our relationship, we all want to see each other succeed in relationships.
So yes, you know, yes.
The critiques are always sincere. They come from the heart. And so I know what these little elements that you guys are about to get. I know what they're about to do. Please don't play on it, because it's real. So I want to ask you, because I like to start to give you at least space to, you know, to tell us. But I really want to ask you, when you heard the topic, you know, preparing, you know, for what you pray for, what did it say? What was it that sent you into that space?
Like, I'm literally getting chills right now just thinking about it, because ever since I started playing that podcast, in my head, I've been thinking about everything that God prepared me for to be in this now. Everything that happened in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, just having different outlooks that I still ended up on this path. And it's put me in deep meditation mode, like literally. And I said that, you know, I want to be on part two. I'm going to do part two. I'm going to jot down some notes. You know, every day I have been thinking, and really, to be honest with you, V-Spot, I've been preparing. I've been preparing because I'm serious. I am dead serious. Like, it's been really busy. It's been a lot of stuff going on. And I just know from just evaluating my life, others' life, listening to other people tell their stories of success. We don't really call them failures. We call them lessons learned, of their lessons learned. And so I'm just trying to keep growing. But in the meantime, I realized that being prepared has always made my life just a little bit easier. You know,
you can prepare for a relationship. Now that's what I'm hearing you say. And I want you to, like, so are you telling me that we literally can prepare for that husband, that wife, that partner?
Okay. On the V-Spot as of today, I want to thank you.
What?
I want to thank you for, I guess, igniting the preparation. I remember, I think it was about, I don't want to tell my age. I'm 41 now. So I was 27. I remember it clearly. And my brother said to me, you are a great person. If you would just control your mouth. That was his exact words. Those was his exact words. If you would just control your mouth just a little bit, you know, to a man. Because, you know, as women, I've always been a very independent woman, always done things, just sort of did things on my own because it was easier that way. I didn't have to depend on anyone. I didn't have to worry about anyone disappointing me. And so when you get in that realm of living your life that way, it's sort of hard for you to step back and allow people to, you know, take control or to be helpmates or to, you know, take advice, because it's sort of, I won't say it's a mistrust that's there, but you just don't want to be disappointed. And so you know that you're not going to disappoint yourself. You're not going to be honest as I was.
Yep.
That was going to be the person that I was going to mesh with. And I didn't find that person until I was 36, 37, somewhere around there. I mean, 10 years, you better say it. I mean, it's talking about waiting on... Wow. God, and I set these goals. I did a vision board. Wow. I said, you know, these are the things that I want in this man of mine, my husband. That was the exact word that I put on there. And it took years for me to actually have a person that was able to manifest the things that I had written that were important to me, that had the same core values, the core values of family, the core value of love, respect, integrity, you know, of being a true teammate. That took a while. I was back to saying thank you, because I always tell the story. I always tell the story, Terrence, about how my brother told me, and I tell my husband all the time, we laugh about it. I said, Terrence told me one day, you know, Tamika, you're a great person, but you know, sometimes just the things that come out of your mouth. And I think it was just me having a very strong personality, always knowing what I wanted in life. No one could really veer me. Even now, my husband say, he's amazed by, if you want to do something, you're going to do it. It doesn't matter what anyone says to you. And he recognizes that, and he knows when to fall back. And I know when to fall back, basically. And so I remember being 27 and looking at someone who's very close to me that has known me for years, you know, almost a decade or so, telling me, hey, as a man... That may be a problem. That may be a problem. No matter how beautiful you are, no matter how smart you are, no matter what you have going for yourself, that may be a problem in your future relationships. And so I took self-evaluation. I really, really did. I remember I was 27. It was before grad school. I was still in preparation for grad school. And I was getting to the point where I had traveled all around the world, partied my tail off. I mean, you all didn't even think I had a job, but I did. I just was able to make my own schedule. And so I was like, you know, as young people do, we set goals for ourselves. And as a young woman, you know, in a great career, I was like, oh, maybe when I'm 30, I can start trying to get married. You know, we always have these plans for ourselves, and then we tell God about them, and then he laughs, you know. And so I started trying to prepare my mind, though. And so I started preparing my mind, and you know, I had relationships after that, and I really did start practicing on, hey, just holding your tongue just a little. You know, let's try, if you feel a certain way, let's see if you feel that way 24 hours from now. Don't just say exactly what is on your mind, and then try to see the person from the other side. And my other thing was, you don't always have to challenge the person that you say that you love. Like, if you love them, why are you challenging them so much? How difficult or how easy are you making this relationship for them? Challenging a person is never going to make the relationship easy, unless you have, you know, it can't be a healthy relationship if that's what's making the relationship easy. And so that I knew then what I wanted for myself. And I also, when I took self-evaluation, was like, you know what? He's right. You know, that's not something that I really should be doing as a lady, as someone that I want a man to come in and join me as a helpmate and to cover me and can pray with me. And we can really come together as a unit, as a team. You know, there's no I in team, people always say. And sometimes when we are thinking about ourselves, not really thinking about the other person that we're with, and it's just sort of a selfish outlook on the relationship or life or whatever, it doesn't work. And I experienced that. I experienced that several times. And so those experiences taught me lessons. You know, I knew. Yeah.
I think it is too, because when you grow up with men around you, or as even if, you know, having a brother in the house, having a male in the house, right? Even with the absence of sometimes fathers, we still grow differently. We still, and because we date, right? We're dating dating women, right? Well, you know, for some of us, we're dating women, and others, you know, you're dating whoever you're dating. But I mean, we're dating, so our conversation about what annoys us or what gets under our skin or what prevents us is a good indicator. If you do have a sister, putting your sister on game, putting your female friends on game is really the goal for succeeding when they meet the next guy. Because that guy's more than likely, I mean, if he likes, you know, women, he likes the things that we like. Understand that was the reason why I felt compelled to do and to share and to be honest and to be transparent in that space. You brought up something, and I have to hit this, because you said you started preparing mentally first and then you started practicing.
You know, we can experience a lot of things, but if we don't have the right outlook, because I could have gotten defensive with you. I could have been like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know. But what it made me do was look at previous relationships and say, you know what? He's right. I could have did this differently. I could have said this differently. Now, those relationships were test runs. They were practice runs. But afterwards, you know, I really did try the next relationship that I was in, because I hadn't been in a lot of relationships, because I wanted to find myself, develop myself as a woman, really be comfortable in the skin that I was in, and not look back at life and felt like that I missed something. So believe me, I had a lot of good people that approached me that I was very honest with, that was just like, hey, I'm not ready. This is not the place that I'm at in my life right now. These are not the goals that I have for myself. But when the time comes, if you're still around, you know, maybe we can make it happen. But around 27, 28, I started trying to prepare my mind. And then I did have a relationship, and everyone was shocked because they weren't used to seeing me in relationships, but that was a part of my practice. And, you know, great guy, just did not work because maybe of distance or time, and everything's about timing in life. I looked at what you told me, and there were plenty of times when I had to hold my tongue. And I said, you know, I'm going to hold my tongue, because Terrence told me to hold my tongue. And I think that it didn't cause me any strife. It didn't make me lose any sleep. I didn't get angry about it. And so my outlook was, you know, practice what he said to you and see how it makes you feel. Now, if it makes you feel like, hey, this is just not me, then okay, be it. But for me, it wasn't the end of the world. I felt like it was a part of my development. I felt like that, hey, my parents had already prepared me of how to be a respectable young lady. Now I'm out on my own and I'm exploring. And I have someone that truly cares about me that's telling me that's not a good look on you. And so it didn't hurt me, you know, because I knew where the underlying statement came from. I knew that the underlying statement came out of love. And so that didn't bother me. I've had a lot of practice.
Wow. So fast forward into now, you've had some practice and you've had some heartbreak within the practice, because again, you're practicing not to just, you're practicing to win. Now, so my sister has always been a good relationship person, right? I will admit that, even through high school.
Right. I've always been a very honest person. Yeah, I've always.
What was your patience like in that process of getting to that? Because I think the other thing about preparing what you pray for,
I would definitely say that it taught me to be patient.
What was
not to really rush into anything, because I saw that, and it also taught me that to forgive. So we'll get on forgiveness later, but if you want to talk about the patience, it definitely, I don't think I lost patience with it. I just felt like, okay, this is not my time. I've always felt like that everything happens in divine timing, divine order. And when things don't go the way that I want it to go, I'm like, well, that's just not the way it's supposed to go. That's not what God wants for me right now. And I've always had that outlook. And regardless of if it hurt, or if it was disappointing, if I shed a tear, I still was able to smile because I know that God had me, like, honestly. Honestly, to smile and being able to talk about it without getting angry. And hey, this was just a part of my life's journey. I still love this person. I still respect this person. We just were not good together as husband and wife. And that comes with a lot of forgiveness and a lot of understanding. And I think that the best thing that I've ever done in life is forgiving the people who disappointed me. It wasn't necessarily about hurt. It wasn't necessarily like, I mean, because I'm a pretty strong person, but if you disappoint me, who wants to be disappointed? Who really wants to be disappointed? And so it was always that if you disappointed me, then I'm going to feel some kind of way, but I always forgave people because we all are imperfect. No one is perfect. Not one of us, you know? And so if we don't learn how to forgive, you know, it is something that is a weight on our shoulders. I feel like it blocks our blessing. The weight that was lifted off of me, the joy that I have because I forgave people, that I don't hold grudges, you know, and then sometimes, yes, your relationship or your dynamic of your relationship will change. We may not be exactly the same way we were, but I forgive you. You know, I forgive you and I respect you and I'm going to still honor you as someone that I can talk to about appropriate situations. That don't mean we're going to talk about the same thing that we used to talk about or do the same things that we used to do or even see each other. But when we see each other, it's going to be all love, you know, so.
When did you start to see what you had prayed for, what you had written down? When did you start to see and feel that unfolding?
Did you
even realize that it was unfolding? And this is specific to a relationship. I just want to make sure I listen. This example that that my sister is using as it preparing for what you pray for as it relates to a relationship. We prepare for jobs, prepare for what you pray for moving. I mean, I'm literally going to tell everybody, pray and meditation should be the key thing. Like if they say breakfast is the best part of the best meal of the day, I honestly believe that prayer and meditation is everything for me.
So, but we've been together for 5 years. We do know that. And it's been great. I mean, it's been full speed ahead. There hasn't been any serious hiccups, road bumps, anything like that. And I think what made me, I was always a person that wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have kids. And I had a childhood friend say to me one time about how, Tamika, you always talk about your kids, but you never talk about your husband. And that made me that, you know, that's some stuff that make you go and meditate. It made me go, she's right, you know. And had sort of, I don't say I was giving up on love, but I just wasn't chasing it. I had said, you know, I have this handsome, beautiful, smart, happy baby. I'm pretty good in my career. I have a great family. I'm just going to focus on this life that I brought into the world because I brought him into the world, regardless of what other entity helped him get here. He was with me 24/7. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on him and just focus on being happy and he'll be happy. And then the rest will come in play. And so that happened right before my son, I think that was around this, my son was probably about 1.5, going on 2 years old. And that was around the same time that I met my husband. It was not planned. It was not, I mean, it was not expected at all. And like to a point that I didn't feel like that God could bless me that way, but I had had other situations that looked like that, you know, that could have been that where people, you know, where I thought that people really cared about me and wanted to see the best for me and wanted to really walk on the journey with me. And that didn't happen. And so when you go through that in life, you don't put too many, you know, eggs in that basket. You just sort of let it balance out. And I've never been a person that looked for someone to mess up. I just say, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until you give me a reason not to trust you, or I'm going to trust you until you give me a reason to. And so some people say that I'm too nice, that I'm too trustworthy, but I think that everyone has to have their own experience. Whatever your experience was with that person may not be my experience. And so I'm going to always give a person a chance. And so when I met my husband, you know, I was having fun. That was the point that I had came to in my life, like, hey, I'm just gonna date, I'm just gonna have fun, I'm just gonna see what happens, and didn't really want to introduce anyone else to my son because I had tried, and I just was like, you know what, I'm just gonna date a regular person. I just want someone that can, you know, stand on their own two feet, mm-hmm. that's already handling their own business, and then when we come together, it's gonna be greater. That was the point that I was at. And so but like I said, I was just going to go out. I really wasn't going to introduce my son to anyone. Right. I had a babysitter. Mm-hmm. I had a nanny that was on call anytime I needed her or whatever. And then I had my parents, and I had good men in my life that could, you know, show my son what good men were. But when I met my husband, it was something about him, and it was something about his smile. And then it was other things that I just paid attention to. We met on a cruise ship, and it was a 7-day cruise, and we met on the first day on the water. And so, you know, I'm looking at him, I'm like, gosh, you know, he's a handsome guy. And I guess I'll give V-Spot the exclusive, because I really haven't given anyone the exclusive on it. But I remember the guy who was emceeing his, they call him a demo, a food demonstration. And he kept saying, you know, he's newly single. So I'm like, if you're a single woman in the room, you're going to mm-hmm. look at him like, could I, you know, maybe, you know. And so I'm looking at him, and he tells this story about how he didn't feel like he had a failed marriage. He felt like his marriage just ran its course, you know, and he was still, you know, it was sort of like a forgiving conversation. And when he said that in the demo, I said, that sounds like me. That's a person that's sort of like me. So you want to be with like-minded people. So that was the first thing that made me pay attention to him. And then, because, you know, even though men choose women, I still think the women ultimately choose men. So
I may very well tell you, I agree with that too, because although we can chase, if you don't let me know that my chase is not in vain, then I will feel worn out. Like at some point, you can't keep chasing the rabbit. The rabbit either better disappear, or that rabbit better be ready to get caught.
Right. There was really not many hiccups, bumps, nothing that really made me. I can honestly say my husband has never made me cry in a bad way. You understand what I'm saying? Like, every tear that I've cried has been a happy tear. I mean, besides, like, you know, we've lost some family members, and that, you know, that's sorrowful. But as far as heartbreak, oh no, he is a protector of my heart. And he showed me that from the very beginning. I mean, from the very beginning, he was very protective. We were zip lining, and he was putting mosquito repellent on me. You know, like, I don't want you to get bit by mosquitoes, little stuff like that.
Is he what you had been previously? And I know the answer to this, but I got to ask it because I know somebody's out here thinking this. Is he what you had previously?
You know, no one looked the same way, but as far as character and treating me good, yes. I never really tried to dig in with anyone that didn't treat me the way I wanted to be treated or the way I felt like I should be treated. But as far as the age is concerned, it's probably the biggest age gap that I've ever had. And height concern, he's probably,
Yep, there we go. That's what I want. That was the one. Yes. Listen to me.
But you know, I had a professor.
The conversations that we had.
That's at our alma mater, the Goldman.
That height.
Who?
Yeah.
Yeah, Wildcats, who was one of my favorite teachers. She was a OB professor. And she told me, her husband, she said, she was referencing to her husband. She was referencing to me. She said, you're going to marry someone that's not tall. Not as tall as you think. Because at the time I was dating someone that was like 6'3". She was like, wow, he's tall, you know. And I said, really, you think so? She said, yes. And so throughout all of my experiences with the people mm-hmm. that I dated, something that I decided was, okay, I want to marry a good businessman. That was something that I said to myself, just in the back of my head. It wasn't on my vision board. It wasn't, you know, something that I just wrote down mm-hmm. and focused on. But in the back of my head, because of relationships that I had, because of friends that I had, things that I had seen happen, just life experiences, I said, I want someone that's good in business, because we can, you know, accumulate a lot of things, but then we can end up, you know, messing it up or losing it if we don't have good business skills. And so I wanted someone that was a good businessman. And my husband, you know, just happens to be a good businessman. You know, he has learned from things that he has experienced in the past. He's very wise and he's a good communicator. And so once I saw that, I think that the pandemic, because we are in a pandemic, y'all. mm-hmm. And what I've told a couple of my friends lately is the pandemic showed me what kind of life I wanted to have and what kind of life I could mm-hmm. have. And so, and that I'm thankful for the decisions that I made. Like, I did okay. Everything, you know, I still have some more, you know, decisions that I'm still making. But for the most part, to be in a house that I really like being in, around a mate that I really like talking to, you know, that I really like being at home, there's no mm-hmm. other, nothing else that yeah. I need to see. There's no other verification besides that. Like, oh, you did okay.
This is a purging. We've been saying that on the V-Spot. This is a purging moment, whether, you know, it's either you guys survive or you realize that you don't need to be in the space. I was talking to a young lady that came for a tour, and she told me her brother and her and their fiance, they decided, maybe this is, I really didn't know. As a matter of fact, her very exact word says, we're not even friends. And when she, I was like, so literally you can go through life with these distractions and really not get the real root of who the person is. When people wonder how she had been cheating or she's been doing all this stuff and nobody never knew. Well, because you got so many distractions, you're not sitting at the table. You're not cooking together. You're not eating together. You're not driving, riding in the same car. So there's so much time in between, right? For things to, you know, metastasize. The five love languages. For if you don't know, it is an amazing series of books. It goes from children to family. I mean, it is just a great, great idea. It's not the whole end all be all mm-hmm. for our listeners, but it is most definitely something you can delve into to know who you are as an individual, and then to be able to relate when you friendships. I mean, it crosses the gamut. Friendships, family ships. It crosses mm-hmm, the gamut. Mm-hmm. I want to get this part, because now we're in the fact that you're experiencing what you've prayed for. Mm. I didn't start this in the first part, but then protecting what you have prayed for. I know that we have had some things mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. No, you're not, Terrence. You're not about to cry. I have said, and this is a vulnerable space. I have said to my sister on a couple of times, I'd rarely regret anything that I've had in my life. I will say there is one experience in my life as it relates to a relationship that I really wish as a man I would have fought and put my foot down on. And I watched mm-hmm. us make decisions that ultimately changed the trajectory of where we are today. And I don't believe I did a good enough job. Actually, I don't believe I did a great job at all because of protecting. And so now I'm in a repent and repair state of life. So how have you been able to protect? And you have a very odd, and we're not hitting on it, and I'm glad we didn't, but you do have another element to your relationship that makes it challenging to protect.
I think
that what you pray
the
for.
Most important thing with us is making sure that the house is good. If everyone in the house is good, then we can handle anything else outside of the house.
Okay.
If we're good, if our foundation is good, if our foundation is stable, we're able to handle any little shakes and earthquakes and hurricanes and, you know, tropical storms that may come, because life will bring you storms. But you have got to be able to withstand them and to have a good foundation. And I think that one thing that my husband really did that I really appreciated, and the aspect that I think that you're speaking on, is because he lived his life in the limelight in the beginning. Is that the one that you're speaking on?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. And that makes it challenging from somebody who hasn't lived in the limelight, who's also been caring. You literally a bedside manner person.
Right.
Everything about you is,
thank God. We have plenty of discussions on a regular basis. And one thing that I appreciate of him was that he was like, if you don't want this, you don't have to do this. You know, if you're not ready for it, if you're not in, it's up to you. So if you say that you don't mind me posting about you or being in a video, we actually have a video to shoot today, you know, for you know, wishing families and happy holiday and all that stuff. And I was like, hey, it's all up to you. But he waited and he gave me time. We had a good relationship. We had been together for a couple of years. I was pregnant with my daughter, and you know, one of the news, I think it was a newspaper or online newspaper, came and, you know, just wanted to find out who he was. I don't know how, you know, they wanted to find out who he was with, and they, you know, they did a small article on us. And so at that point, it, you know, it felt a little invasive, but you know, he had given me time. We had been together, I think, for about 3 years already. Mm-hmm. Even when we started dating, I didn't tell people who I was dating. And I think that was something that he really liked mm-hmm. about me. He said that that was something that he really liked about me. I didn't do it on purpose. But only thing I wanted to get to know the person that I was with. I didn't want it to be like, oh, I'm with this celebrity person and this is who I'm with and I'm going to make it work. I'm like, no, if you're around me long enough, then you'll know who I'm with. If you're around me long mm-hmm. enough, then you'll know who my mate is. It's just not, I wasn't using him as a trophy or a charity case. And then he decided that, you know, from my previous relationship, maybe, you know, I should let her take her time. If this is what she wants, that's fine. This is not her field. I was already very established, very, very established when my husband met me. So it wasn't something that I needed. It wasn't something mm-hmm. that we needed in our relationship. You know, if anything, it would be something that may bring a little bit more, you know, a little bit more, you know, turmoil or chaos or whatever. And so we treaded that water very lightly, and I love him for that. I love him for that because he was like, I'm not going to do that to my wife. I'm not going to do that to my wife. I never want her to wake up and not want to be here. I never want her to wake up and regret being with me. And so he put me first and sort of put himself first, but we put our family first, and that's just how we are. And so, you know, with that being said, once it came mm-hmm. out and we did a People magazine spread, you know, we sort of got in front of it and tried to do it on our own, because you never want anyone to try to tell your story. Only we can tell our story. Only we can tell our story. You can only tell what you think you know, what you might find on paper, but you don't know the story.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I respect him and I love him for that. And he would tell anyone, you know, I never wanted my wife to, you know, I was pregnant. He was very concerned. I was 39 or 40 years old, pregnant, you know. And so, you know, that's sort of high risk. After the age of 35, you're sort of high risk. And so he was very protective of mm-hmm. my physical state, my mental state. And he waited. We waited until I think Ariel was about 7 months old before we even did that People magazine shoot. I think she was like 6 or 7 months old when we did that People magazine shoot. And so it was different, sure enough, but mm-hmm. the area that I'm from, you know, I sort of experienced stuff growing up. I experienced people not liking me just because of the way that I look, not even knowing who I was. I experienced, you know, heartache. I experienced making mistakes. And so I just thank God for all of those things coming in my life at such an early age that I can, and not necessarily early, because I mean, I didn't meet my husband until I was 36, 37. Like even with graduate school, it took me, I didn't go to graduate school until after being a nurse in critical care for 6 years. And my goal was to do it after being nursing for 2 years. I only wanted to do 2 years. I wanted to do the bare minimum and then get out. Well, that's not what God wanted for me. And I'm glad, because it prepared me for the area that I'm in. I worked in critical care for 6 years. And now I do, you know, what I do, and I'm able to handle high stressful situations, you know, and make fast judgmental decisions that are good for my clients, you know. And so I looked at everything as preparation, and my husband was just a part of it, you know.
You have really, the V-Spot is honored. And I want to tell listeners, you don't have to, you know, this is just one, but if you really want to hear the unpacking, Tamika has a Taste of Love podcast that she started, and you can catch up on some of the episodes. She just mentioned to you, you know, the pandemic has kept her from doing some more recordings, but you can see this this unfolding of prayer. The prayer doesn't stop because you guys are still praying, right? You guys are still praying. So just because now that you have this, doesn't mean you stop preparing and planning for what is next, and protecting it as well. So tell them where they can follow you.
Apple, Spotify, Anchor. I think Amazon has one too, but I'm going to double check. And it's TPN Taste of Love. On Instagram is TPN Taste of Love. On Facebook is Taste of Love Balance, because they wouldn't let me put the whole name in there. But and you'll be able to find out a little bit more about me. And I created that page, my brother, because I had when people delete their Facebook page or their Instagram page and they try to find all of their family and friends that they had before, and it's impossible. I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that. And there were certain things that I didn't mind sharing. Yeah. And I knew that a part of my husband's background was that people knowing him as a family man, and people were wondering about who was this person that he was married to. And so some things I don't mind sharing. You know, I'm very protective, though, of my family and of my friends. And I sort of tell them that. I'm like, look, I'm not posting everyone on my public entities, because everyone doesn't have your best interest at heart. And so you have to realize that. But that's where I am. I'm on TPN Taste of Love Balance. Yeah. You can find me. I did a nice podcast on rainbows that has really gotten me through. I have to listen to it every once in a while. And my son. Yeah, my son actually made me a rainbow. I mean, his little genius stuff. So that's where you can find me, Terrence. And I've just been preparing. Like, I've been looking for, I don't know if you want to add this in there. I mean, but I really have been in preparation mode. Like, now that we know what we can do safely with this virus being around, I'm trying to get more help to come back in the house, because I've been doing it all for 7 months. That's why they haven't gotten a podcast from me. I've been cleaning my house. I've been trying to balance. I've been being a daycare worker. My daughter has been home. She's 2. She's been home since March. I've been in preparation mode. Like, I supposed to be trying. I've been calling people that were here before that was helping me, keep my house organized. And then I've been trying to organize my house so I can be a little bit more productive.
Listen, guys, this has been the V-Spot. We've had our first special guest with us.
TPN Taste of Love, yes.
From the Taste of Love. You can hit her up on the podcast. It's my sister. Tamika, we love you and we look forward.
Oh, wow. V-Spot listeners, now I know you guys must be going in, right? Because I'm still feeling it. That conversation was absolutely everything that we needed to prepare ourselves for the next coming of decisions that we have to make. So I did not want to do this in advance because I wasn't assured within myself that it was actually going to happen. But we are going to use this platform more to engage others to come in and join in the V-Spot experience. You know, the V-Spot is the vulnerable space. It's the vulnerable space to grow. And so while you are growing, hopefully through the introduction of conversations we invite you to, please know that we are growing as a platform, and we are hoping to invite new content and new ways of engaging you as our listening audience. And we want to continue to hear from you. We really, really do appreciate it. And we hope that you would continue to share those episodes that you believe are applicable to someone that would help touch and help someone else on their journey. So please don't keep it to yourself. This has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow.
You've been listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at The V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email, email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.